between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into the Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. As we roll closer to this weekend, Alabama takes on Wisconsin, 11 o'clock. A little bit different, so people try to figure out how they're going to handle the tailgates and what they're going to have for the tailgates. There'll probably be a lot of people hanging out after the game on the quad. So hopefully it'll be a happy quad with an Alabama victory. I imagine if they were to lose, Chase, people would probably pack up that tailgate and go back to where they came from. So hopefully that won't happen. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app, especially this time of year with coaches' shows going on. You want the games. All the shows here at Tide 100.9, you got all those. So get that app on your smartphone. Also, send us an app message if you'd like throughout the show. Also, you could email us wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. We want to thank Yellowwood. That's pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. They make this 7 o'clock hour possible. So if you want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood, it would be the only choice. And remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. A five-star show today, I believe, guys. JC, who's absolutely terrific, will join us at the bottom of the hour. And then Tom Hart will be with us in the second hour. Tom has seen a lot of these SEC teams and met with a lot of these SEC coaches. So he can give some good perspective on where he thinks these teams are in the league he is right now currently, which looks like it's, again, the strongest league top to bottom in the country. Good morning, Chase. How are you? Where's that Mississippi State sweatshirt? I've never seen you. You don't like State. You never have any State gear on.
Got to get more gears.
You got LSU on this morning, Dad. Good morning, Dad. How are you this morning?
Doing okay, Barry. Several things. Not a whole lot to talk about. Everybody's excited about playing close to the end. I know that when Coach got on his show the other day, mentioned that Hampton kid Bubba had not been with the team completely at all, and he's a wide receiver. Alabama's got plenty of those, but the deal I say is he just kind of kept it under his hat and announced it, and there wasn't a whole lot of play or a whole lot of media about it. So I think it was, you know, a pretty good way to do it, where you just gonna get out and stick it out. Generally speaking, now is about Ryan Williams playing. Let me say this to you: if I'm the coach, I just simply tell him to play. Hey, go play. We're tired of talking about concussions and teddy bears and stuff. Play. The understanding is that Ryan Williams is going to be double covered. The understanding with the quarterback and the new offensive coordinators, you're not going to throw the double coverage into double coverage. So you got to get your fanny open. So you can get open and he'll throw you the football if you can get yourself open. But it's not as easy for you now as it was, before, you know, when you had the success that you had. It affects you totally, and it doesn't need to affect you because you're too darn good and you're making a lot of money. And I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm not sure about that. So anyway, we'll see. I've been trying to study the blue plate. Barry said it was bad last year. I wasn't that bad. I wasn't great. I wasn't that bad. Even before that, it was just terrific. Last week, I was terrible. Kind of hard for me to really know exactly what I want to do. I've been trying to study this thing and see what happened. So That's really about all. We are. Let me say this, not necessarily because what had happened yesterday. We are in with kids and older kids a gunned world. We don't need to be in a gun world, and you don't need to make the guy mad that drives by you and does whatever, jumps in front of you or whatever. We're in a gun world. We go through worlds in this world. I'm old enough to tell you we're in a gun world. And until we get people, and this is not football, but I'll close on this. Until we get people put in an electric chair, killed for what they do, we're going to continue to have a goal. You know, we got an age problem. But, you know, I'm not talking about kids being put in an electric chair. But after they get an age, if they can't behave a couple of times, then I think something needs to be done about it there. So that's really about all. Wisconsin game should be a terrific game. I studied the other games. Mostly the score, the lines, Barry can correct me, have been about the same. They haven't changed much. And the ones that I've looked at, trying to figure out one that decent, because I was so bad last week on one I did. That's it.
Yesterday, tragic wife and two small kids. And Charlie Kirk had a huge impact on the younger generation, the college kid. I mean, the younger generation, that was, I don't even think people my age realized what an impact he was having. So that was a humongous blow.
That was somebody that, you know, was bitter. And it wasn't a kid. I just wanted to point out that we have three or four kids arrested because they shot the Florida State guy in the back of the neck. If you're of 18 to 17, 16, and you're not happy with something somebody does, this day and time, you got a gun. And I thought this little crap I'm putting out is for all these daddies who have kids that are 16, 17, 18. Mine have passed. But if I had them, Barry Hounds is on, Jim Scott Handler on. If I had them, I'd pretty much be pretty tough on them.
Yeah. So anyway, sad day yesterday. Just tragic. Hopefully they can find who's responsible, but that has not happened yet. Wisconsin, Luke Fickle, pretty hard-nosed football coach. Very disappointed how his team played in the first half against Middle Tennessee. He said last year their biggest improvement was from game two to game three. But as he said, he talked about after the Middle Tennessee State game, said we're going on the road to obviously an incredible hostile environment to a team that beat us pretty bad last year at home. And so we've got our work cut out for us. But that's what we got to find out where you are. And we know that this is a long journey. Beating them bad last year, does that help or hurt Alabama?
Oh, I don't think it hurts them particularly, either one. I think Alabama is a new group and they got to get themselves ready to play at home. I don't know that it hurts them or helps them either way. I think they read the line as players, and that's one of the problems you have, and
sometimes it beating them that bad, and I don't think it. I don't think it. It's on purpose. I don't think when you hear, and then maybe people may be right when you hear people talk about this game against Wisconsin. It's like Wisconsin has no chance, and Alabama's back, and they're going to be. I just think subconsciously, yeah. you don't look at them like, hey, you know, we played them last year. We weren't that great last year. We went on the road and beat them. I mean, what's going to happen at home? Kids just, I don't think they mean to. I think the coaches do a good job of trying to convince them that, hey, this is a Big Ten football team. This team got a lot of pride. Great coaching, Luke Fickle's. They're going to come in here ready. It's like people overlooking Georgia now, talking about how average they looked in the first 2 weeks. Well, if you look at the last scores against Tennessee, they have blown Tennessee out here for the last, 9 years. It hadn't even been close. And you hear Kirby Smart talking. He when he's in his press conference, it sounds like this has been a tough game against Tennessee. It's been great. And then all of a sudden they were showing him talking, and they started playing the highlights of all the different games. And Georgia has blown their doors off just about every time they've played here recently. So I don't know.
You know, I try not to ever go to the past much with my teams. I want you to play today, and I want you to play hard today, and I expect you to play hard today. And I think basketball is a little bit different, but I think it's, you know, it's, and I had some games that people didn't play as hard as they should. And I tried to do my best to get it corrected. You know, you go through things and you look back at it and you're glad that it happened the way it happened. You're glad that the coach mashed your fanny or put you on the bench or whatever. You're glad of that because you grow up on it, man. I think, you know, I talk about the mental part too much, I'm sure, because people get tired of hearing it. But wanting to do something and gives you a much better chance to do it than if you're lackadaisical with it. So that's enough. That's about it for me.
All right, we'll take the break here. We get back, we'll get to some phone calls, 205-342-9904. Now, his dad studies his blue plate special. Hopefully he can get off. He's 2-1. But know that blue plate special is brought to you by great friend Brian Harden. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team that's building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Who is that? Brian Harden Construction is your partner in industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel to 24/7 crane rental. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. That's Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1137. Go to bhardenconst.com.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. Governor Ivey is among state leaders reacting to the Wednesday assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk in Utah. She posted a statement saying that she hopes and prays his mission to have good dialogue continues. She also followed President Trump's proclamation and ordered flags and half-staff in the state of Alabama in remembrance. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather coverage all throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Lots of road construction, but not lots of traffic delays. Even though we're inside your prime time now, traffic is still moving pretty smoothly inside those zones. 2059, both eastbound lanes before Western Bypass. That's Joe Malisham. You've got road construction in the area, but so far, again, you don't have the slow goes.
From the game, the Tide postgame show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep, Dodge Ram, and two dimes.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather stays dry through the weekend with heat levels gradually rising. The sky sunny today, the high around 90. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. 100.9.
to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have a yellow tag on it, then you don't want it. To the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Philip.
Morning. Good morning. Good morning, guys. Barry, I made an inquiry about you a little while ago to Chase. I don't know if he got you the message or not.
Yeah, he did. Unfortunately, Jenny and I got some stuff going on, but I appreciate that very much, Philip.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. Okay, all right. We just wanted to invite you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's a gun world, all right, and you don't even need a permit now to get a pistol.
Yeah.
But, man, what a day. But anyway, guys, I saw where Alabama is going to meet with the architects or have met with them or whatever, but they're going to do some work on the stadium again, I see.
I don't know what that is. I'm so tired of them working on Bryant-Denny Stadium and not building a basketball arena. I don't know what they're doing. I just, at some point, I mean, I know they're building the practice facility, and I don't even know what they're trying. Is it something to do with the suites and that they're trying to improve, Philip? What are they doing to Bryant-Denny or trying to get approved?
It's a suite deal. It's something to do with suites, but I don't know what the cost of that's going to be.
Yeah.
Versus what, they're having such a difficult time raising the funding for the Coliseum, for the new basketball arena. And,
yeah.
I guess they're having success doing it, but still they got a ways to go. And now this.
Yeah. Every time they turn around, they're doing something else to that stadium over there. Maybe it needs it, but come on. Let's put all our efforts into getting this arena built. When you get that built, then get back to some other projects. But the time is now. Let's get it done.
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. I thought I'd bring that up in sort of a sneaky way. Yeah. I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know
if that was just to get the architect get approved or whatever they're trying to do. I don't know, but. It was kind of confusing, to be honest with you.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It'll get built.
Yeah, it probably will get built.
This game Friday, Saturday, I think it's going to be a knockdown dragout.
Yeah. I think Wisconsin's going to come in there. I'm just reading Luke Fickell's comments, and he was not very happy with how they played. And he says, I don't know what's going to happen, but we'll come in there focused. Like, they're going to be in here. Not that you wouldn't be ready to play against Alabama anyway, but I just think sometimes when you don't play quite as well, you got those guys' attention in practice and attention to detail. And I think they're going to come in here ready to go. Now, what do they have? I always think of Wisconsin as not having great foot speed and guys from Alabama being able to outrun them. Now, whether that's true, I don't know that because I don't really know Wisconsin's personnel. But that is my perception of Wisconsin, Philip.
I think it's everybody, and that's the same sort of perception people have of Penn State and Indiana and some of those teams. It's that the old 1963 perception of Big Ten teams, and it doesn't fit anymore. But as far as that game last year, Barry, my recollection of Alabama's trip to Madison last year was, it was Alabama won, kind of won in somewhat convincing style. But I didn't think Alabama went in there and just destroyed them. I think they played pretty well in spurts, and then they had some spurts where they didn't play well. I know Ryan Williams caught a touchdown pass, and that was one big play I remember. But I didn't think last year Alabama played particularly great against them.
I just remember they were moving. Wisconsin was moving the ball pretty easily, and then their quarterback got hurt pretty early. And then once he got hurt, they got very vanilla, and then it was on from there. Alabama just took it to them. So. Now, had he not gotten hurt, I'm not saying Wisconsin would have won the game, but it would have been much closer.
Yeah, they were certainly moving the ball. But anyway, guys, just wanted to chat with you, and everybody be safe, and don't step on anybody's toes, and just be aware.
When you coming up or over?
Oh, God. I'll leave early Saturday morning. You know, it's about a 2 hour and 45 minute drive from where I live in East Alabama over to Tuscaloosa. So I'll have to get up with the before the Roosters and drive up. And the way I like to come, I can't come in the morning time because of deer. So I'll have to hit the interstate and then go 65 north up towards Birmingham. I cut off and go towards Clanton that way and go to, you know, get on Highway 82 and come up. There's really no good way for me to come. A lot of people come up, swing up to Birmingham and come down, but that's a joke. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, don't do that. All right, well, be careful, Philip.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, thank you. All right, back to the Yellowwood Hotline. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, guys. Barry, I had a few things on my mind. Football, I mean, that's on my mind. I'll talk about that Friday. But I think the world needs more apple cider vinegar. I really do. That's the light side of this. The other thing I wanted to tell real quick, and I don't share this much. My youngest son's been in the military, the Army, for 15 years. He served in Afghanistan twice. The second time he volunteered, I'd already gotten much gray hair. Most of my gray hair came from this. But I said, son, are you sure? Are you sure you want to put yourself in harm's way again? And he said, Dad, I feel safer over there than I do in my own country. It did not register at that time what he said, but now I understand. I just wanted to share that with y'all this morning.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your son for his service, for sure.
He's done very well. But anyway, we're in hard times right now. And maybe we can forget about some things with a little football this weekend, but this country's in a bad state right now. And I love you guys to death. Your show means a lot to me, and I always make sure whether I'm sick or feeling whatever, I make sure it's on in the morning. So I'll call in tomorrow with my score of what I think's going to happen this weekend. So
sounds good.
Tennessee also. Tennessee, Georgia, and Alabama. Thanks.
All right, there'll be another vinegar tip for you today, brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. So
I have been kissed more the last 2 days after doing the breath thing, Coach, so I'm just going to tell you, it worked. Y'all have a great day.
There you go. So yesterday, a little vinegar mixed with, I don't even remember what it was mixed with, but give you good, clean breath. Chase, I'd suggest a Tic Tac. 2 minute truck. We're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and your stuff. 205-247-5050. That is 2 minute truck. Movers who care.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Lots of road construction, but not lots of traffic delays. Even though we're inside your prime time now, traffic is still moving pretty smoothly inside those zones. 2059, both eastbound lanes before Western Bypass. That's Joe Malisham. You've got road construction in the area, but so far, again, you don't have the slow goes.
Results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside the locker room, get right up to the Yellowwood Hotline. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, you don't want it. He's the owner of the BigSpur.com. Several podcasts as he talk about at the end of the segment. Joins us every Thursday, J.C. Sherbert. Good morning, J.C. How are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you today.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ed.
Before I ask you anything, do you have anything you want to talk about that I probably can't think of what to ask you that's important to you? The only thing I could say is, unless we start in on a game, is that Ryan Day has said that the transfer portal is a really bad time and other coaches don't agree. I don't know if that's interest to our listeners or not, but if it's not, then you kind of start it off for me.
Yeah, Ohio State, they're thinking about what's best for Ohio State. I mean, you know, and the bottom line is, in college football, it's not one size fits all. We don't have uniformity, so there are going to be rules that are best for the majority of programs, but not necessarily best for a handful. And Kirby talked about it, too. He said, you know, the problem they have is that with the expanded playoff, it doesn't align with the academic calendar. And
nothing does.
You know, it's supposed to be a one-semester sport, but it's really now a two in a lot of ways for a handful of teams. And so that gets kind of tricky. But, you know, my thought of it is this, is that, like, look, and I think his concern is outgoing players. Like, in other words, you're on a playoff run, and then they want to leave because they're trying to get the best money deal, kind of like the quarterback that went to Missouri for Penn State last year. And that is a concern. But, you know, what I think, again, needs to prevail, and this is hard in our country right now, is common sense. Just use common sense. They have a waiver when they finish playing. They get a portal window. If they go in the portal, you know, you could always, you know, have your agent work behind the scenes on something and get a deal done. And, you know, you don't have to even let it be a distraction. You can handle it privately and be fine. You know, I think with Ohio State, their concern also on top of that is, well, we're going to recruit the portal. You know, we're busy in the playoffs. How do we have time? And to that, I just say this. How many people do you have on staff? How many millions of dollars do you spend? Does everybody in the building need to be preparing in January for a playoff game? There's no installation. You know, I mean, get it done. I mean, you're spending all this money anyway. Don't you have competent people that can handle that for you? And that it doesn't take much to get guys in on official visits. I just don't see where, like, the Ohio States of the world can't work around this when it's clearly better for everybody else to have their roster set, you know, heading into summer and not have to worry about guys going through spring ball and losing and then you have to scramble. And he should realize that because they had to do that last year in the spring portal window. You know, they were desperately looking for defensive linemen last year. So, I mean, I don't get it. Ohio State's always taken that that point of view, though. And he says the rest of the Big Ten does, but I have serious doubts that the entire all 18 teams are like, yeah, let's just keep our roster in flux after spring. No, I don't think anybody else would say that.
Yeah, I think the SEC is kind of sick of Ohio State, to be honest with you, because they have enough.
They hired their president.
They have enough money to buy the SEC's best players. As Brian Kelly said, I'm sorry, there's no crying on the yacht. I mean, we got to get this thing set in its best position at the time to allow us to set our rosters moving forward. And I mean, at some point, you know, these semesters. Nobody talks about the school part. Like, I mean, Alabama normally starts like the second or third week of January. Well, if you wait till after the championship game, which I think is around the 20th, the semester's already started. So then if those guys wait to get in the portal, there's not even time for them to visit. And so the timing for football is just a bad timing with when if you want these players to be able to get to these new schools in time and next semester, you almost have to do it. It's not ideal, But if academics are still out there, JC, then that's just what you have to do. You just have to figure out a way around it and work within the rules.
Well, and then there's also another common, you know, so when do you have time to play with? You have it in August. I mean, that week zero isn't worth a nickel, you know, as far as games go. In the South, there is heat and things like that, but hell, it's hot in September, too. You can move the season back, play rivalry games the week before Thanksgiving, which a lot of them used to be played on the week before Thanksgiving, have conference championships Thanksgiving weekend, and then away you go with the playoffs. You don't have to wait all that time to get it going. You know, FCS does it. And then you can play the championship game at a reasonable time, have the semis on New Year's Day. I don't know. You could mess with the calendar to where you don't have a college football championship game. Because I'll tell you what got lost. The championship game was the championship game. Two great programs, sold out, great rating, good ratings, not great, on a Monday night in Atlanta. The semifinals, though, like they were, what, a Thursday and a Friday and during the week, and you got NFL going on. And those two games, I think, kind of got lost a little bit last year. So you could probably back it up and solve problems, but nobody wants to solve the problems by fixing the machine. They just want to fix different parts of the machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alabama coach got on there. They had a running back, a wide receiver that left. Really didn't make any yakking about it. Just kind of passed it over in his reference to their team. This, you know, kind of a totally different atmosphere. I think very interesting atmosphere with Alabama football. One good, one bad is in the two games. Your thoughts on where they go with Wisconsin and down the line a little bit I think the guy's smart. I think he's a good football coach, but a little bit different approach. Your thoughts on that? I'd like to hear that.
Sure. Yeah, it is different. Alabama is very much a program in transition. And you have to be realistic about it. I don't know that Kalen DeBoer is the best fit right now on the surface. You know, if you got a program that's very consistent, that typically beats the teams it's supposed to beat, which was just about everybody during the Saban era, but they didn't have a whole lot of upset losses. I mean, you know, you just don't – I mean, they talk about the South Carolina loss in 2010, and South Carolina won the SEC East that year. So that wasn't like a big, oh, my God, we lost to Vanderbilt type of one. And so that's got to change, obviously. And you can do yourself a favor by beating Wisconsin's butt this weekend. Wisconsin, I think they better be happy that Luke Fickell got the bright idea when he took the job to say, well, we're not going to be ground and pound like, you know, Wisconsin didn't have a lot of talent access, right? They win because they overachieve. They've been ground and pound for – they created the ground and pound for years. There's a lot of big linemen up there. The Nordic dudes that live in Wisconsin and Minnesota would go there. They just run it at you, and that was successful for how many coaches? And then he changes it. They go spread. And you can't run spread with slow players. I mean, you can't. You know, they have a kind of a system in basketball, too, that allows them to win more than they should. So Wisconsin's a disaster right now by their standard, too. They played pretty good defense the first couple of games, but I'd be happy that Wisconsin also is kind of in flux if I'm Alabama, because it's a chance to get a big win over Power 14, just like you did up there last year, and, you know, get people feeling good heading into SEC play.
It's maybe early to say this, just based on what we saw pretty much last weekend as well. The SEC is deep. It looks like it. Now we'll see. You got to play the season now. It looks deep right now. Auburn looks to be better. Oklahoma's better. Vanderbilt seems to be pretty good after going and you know, beating a Virginia Tech team that was okay, but they had to go into Blacksburg and do that. Will this hold? Will we still be saying the same thing, or will these teams start beating each other up, JC?
Well, I hope it. I hope people have common sense and understand that somebody has to win and lose football games.
Yeah.
If you play, you know, eight teams win, eight teams have to lose. I mean, it's how it is. But, you know, for some reason in college football, we don't ever judge strength of conference by depth like we do in every single other sport on earth. We just look at, oh, well, they have a top team that's undefeated, so therefore that's a good conference, and it's just a bogus way to look at it. But, yeah, I mean, look, like I said, somebody's got to lose. Somebody's going to lose. You know, it's like Wheel of Fortune. Somebody's going to land on the black bankrupt thing or whatever it was. But, it, you know, and it's weird, guys, because if you take the first 2 weeks, just look at it. The most impressive teams have been Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Missouri, Auburn, and Oklahoma. Those weren't the teams that were necessarily picked toward the top. I mean, LSU had a big win, but then kind of an unimpressive win over La Tech. You know, Georgia, rain delay struggle with Austin Peay last week. Tennessee, they're going to win, you know, because of that. So the first 2 weeks sometimes give us a fool's gold. There's only been one conference game. That was Ole Miss at Kentucky. I know Ole Miss people are probably a little upset because Kentucky's not very good. It's pretty obvious. But they only won by 7. So we're going to get into it starting this weekend and really kind of see what these teams are all about. But obviously, you know, when you win a bunch of non-conference games like the SEC did, and, you know, unlike last year where you had a Cal beating an Auburn or Georgia State beating Vanderbilt or – you know, Arizona State beat Mississippi State last year. I hope I mentioned Mississippi State is one of the impressive teams. Then you have those bugaboos in the non-conference. You don't see that this year. I think Bama's loss and Texas losing Ohio State, I think, are the only two. And so that's good. That is a testament to not only the strength of the league, but teams that are good enough to take care of business, taking care of business the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, that one in Florida, obviously losing.
bad times for the Gators. But look, I'm going to tell you this right now. I watched almost every play of South Florida and Boise State, and Boise State looked slower than a pile of owl poop out there against them because USF is fast. They're one of those teams, like when we see a Florida football program, guys, we're like, well, they'll probably be fast, they'll probably have length, and they'll probably all play like they love to play football, highly competitive. That's how Florida State, Miami were great for years. And you watch that USF team play, a lot of Florida kids, a lot of portal talent. They're kind of the scary Florida team like UCF has been at times through the years, and they've done a fantastic job. So I think they're legit. I don't know that they'll beat Miami this weekend because they probably have Miami's attention, but I think that they could definitely be the Group of Five playoff team this year, and I would not want to play them at home anywhere if I'm a five seed.
Yeah. Talk about the game in Columbia. Vanderbilt looked really good the second half against Virginia Tech. I guess South Carolina had a strange game there. At home, I guess, against South Carolina State. All my buddies back there talked about the traffic problem that was going on during getting to the game and out of there. They said that was awful. But what's your thoughts on that game this weekend?
Well, Mike Shula, and I don't know, you know, I'm not hanging this on play call under Coach Shula. They got to find a way to get Lenore Sellers out in space, get him going. They have to operate the offense with a little bit quicker tempo. There's a lot of ugly runs up the middle and stuff that just don't make any sense in right now. But it was an ugly game. They played an FCS opponent. You know, I think at times against Virginia Tech, they got a little conservative, but then there were times that they didn't, and Sellers made plays. So, again, it's after two games. I'll say this. If South Carolina plays on offense, does not improve significantly on offense, this week, they will lose the game. and they could probably lose the game by a bunch and get embarrassed, because Vanderbilt, this is the most problematic Vanderbilt team I've seen in a while, with their scheme, their quarterback, the way they play defense. They don't make mistakes. I was in Nashville last year for the Carolina game. I came away, Carolina won by 21, but I came away thinking Vanderbilt's the best coach team in the country. You look at their guys, and then you look at Carolina's guys in warmups, you're like, South Carolina should win by about, 50 points. But they just don't make mistakes. I mean, and that's how you got to coach it, Vandy, if you're going to win. And Diego Pavia, one of my coaching contacts, calls him the little engine that could. And that's who he is, man. He's been a winner. I mean, you don't just march into Jordan-Hare Stadium with the New Mexico State Aggies and beat them by 3 touchdowns if you don't know how to play football and coach football. And that's basically what Vandy's done on offense. They've just taken what worked in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and applied it to the SEC. It's genius. So can't say enough good about them. It's a scary game for Carolina. Carolina's won that game by 16 in a row, 17, 18. They haven't lost to Vandy since 08. And they played them every year. So Vandy's due. It could be a loss, but that's going to kind of largely depend on South Carolina getting out there and playing like they're capable of, and letting their talent make a difference in that game. Because I do think the Gamecocks have, across the board, more talent. So, and plus, it's home at night. Last time Shane Beamer lost to a conference team at home at night was September 25th, 2021. They've won 7 in a row at home at night against SEC opponents in South Carolina. So that streak is on the line this weekend as well.
Yeah. Georgia has beaten Tennessee 8 straight. The last games in Knoxville has been 38-10, 41-17, 43-14, and 41-0. Now, Tennessee opened up as a 7-point favorite. The line quickly dropped down to 3.5. Georgia hadn't looked well, but they've been pretty vanilla the first 2 weeks. They're kind of building towards this. They like it like this, where people think they're not that good. What happens up in Knoxville this weekend, JC?
Man, there's nothing that tells me Tennessee's going to win the game. And I'll tell you why. Josh Heupel, since he's been at Tennessee, he's solved a lot of riddles. He's beaten a lot of good teams and programs that Tennessee hadn't beaten in a while, like Alabama. He beat LSU pretty good 1 year when they had Jaden Daniels. I mean, it was he's done a great job. The one thing he hadn't done, though, is score points against Georgia. And what that tells me is they figured it out. And I'll use another South Carolina reference. When Josh Heupel was the OC at Missouri, Will Muschamp was at South Carolina, and Missouri would come into the game and they had scored 40 points against directional Missouri, lit up a bad Florida team or something. They play Carolina, they'd score 10. And so these Saban guys that coach defense, I think that they have a plan for this type of offense that probably trickled down from the GOAT himself. And it's worked against Tennessee every single time Georgia's played them. Unless Tennessee can line up and dominate the line of scrimmage and Georgia's offense just goes into a shell, I think Georgia will win. I think it's another one of those things. After 2 games, kind of fool's gold. Tennessee had a nice win against Syracuse and then scored 1 billion points against an FCS team. They're all happy and excited. Georgia had a sloppy game, but you're right. They got them right where they want them. And do not underestimate Kirby Smart, the Georgia Bulldogs, in this
one. Yeah, I agree. That.
I don't know. I've pretty much got my blue plate decided. You're feeling on Ole Miss Kentucky game. The game was a close game. Kentucky played pretty darn well. They're not bad. Ole Miss is better than last year, or what?
Ole Miss hasn't shown me anything. They're better than last year. I mean, Jackson Dart didn't have a lot of games like Austin Simmons did. Austin Simmons is a great really great talent and a good player. He just had an off day. You know, it's hard, I think, sometimes when you're playing Kentucky, especially early in the season. And, you know, some of these teams, I compare it to that movie, The Sixth Sense, where the kid goes, they don't know they're dead. A lot of teams this early in the year, they don't know they're bad. They don't know they're bad yet. Kentucky doesn't know. I mean, they blocked out the expectations. They're like, it's mano a mano. So they go and they play really hard. And I mean, last year, Kentucky beat Ole Miss, only lost to Georgia by a point, and then reality set in. And that's usually what happens. It's tough to go up there early like that, you know, because their fans are still fired up. They're not down in the dumps. And Ole Miss, to their credit, you know, Simmons was misfiring on passes. They did line up and run the ball with Lacy and were very successful running the ball against the Kentucky defense. That's got to be a concern if you're Mark Stoops, because they usually are really good at run defense. That's their whole thing. You know, I thought Kentucky was very spirited. They've got a quarterback controversy now. I don't think they play anybody else. They come to South Carolina at the end of the month, so that'll be another test for them. You know, not all bad for UK in the opener, and probably not as bad as some Ole Miss people think. I mean, you got out of there with a win. That's what's important.
All right, JC, tell everybody where they can find you and all your great stuff. Should be a great weekend. Good games this weekend.
Yeah, man, I'm fired up that the we got a. I mean, Ole Miss and Kentucky is the only conference game. We got a bunch of good SEC games that are going to tell us something this weekend. And that's good. And Mike Morgan and I talked about that on JC and Morgan. You can get that on Spotify, Apple, the JC Morgan College Football Podcast. Each and every Tuesday morning, we do it live, and then we upload it just during the season. It's every Tuesday. So check us out, and also check out Mike Morgan's Elite Media Network. If you like old school Westwood One style broadcast, he's with Starkville last week, in Columbia this week. Check that out as well.
Thank you, JC.
Thank you. Thank you,
guys.
All right. Good weekend of football headed our way. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Phone lines be open 205-342-9904 when we get back from break.
Your flagship home. Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes the catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks the tackle, scores, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide hit the turf to face the Wisconsin Badgers. Our coverage begins at 8 a.m. on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Thursday morning at 9 a.m. on the Gary Harris Show, the coach Ellis Johnson will join me to break down SEC football, plus Jeff Spiegel from ABC 3340, and we'll go up to Wisconsin to talk to someone that covers the Badgers and your phone calls. That's Thursday morning.
You can get your small blizzard treat for just 85 cents with a $1 purchase when you sign up for DQ Rewards. For a limited time at participating locations. Terms apply.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Happy Thursday to you. We found some trouble on 5th Street at Rice Mine Road. Watch out for an accident at that intersection or merger there. It's got traffic pretty sluggish in the immediate area. And as far as extensive delays, none to worry about here on McFarland and Lurline Wallace. That intersection, traveling at posted speed, 43 southbound onto McFarland. That's typical. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, Tammy Thomas.
WTBC Tuscaloosa. And W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Leo Rivas came in clutch for the Mariners.
And the pitch on the way to Leo. Not Buddy swinging. Fly ball. Deep right field down the line. Walk it off, Leo Rivas. A walk. The Mariners sweep the Cardinals in the three-game series. The Mariners win it 4-2.
Radio Network on the call. The Astros defeated the Blue Jays 3-2, and Carlos Correa hit his 200th career home run. Seattle is one game back of the Astros in the AL West, and they have a 1.5 game lead on the Rangers for the final wild card spot in the AL, while the Tigers crush the Yankees 11-1.
In another language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. BABBEL.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The weather stays dry through the weekend with heat levels gradually rising. The sky sunny today, the high around 90. Clear tonight, the low 67. Tomorrow and Sunday, lots of sunshine both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson. A father-son duo with decades of coaching experience. Breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron. From inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
All right, welcome back to the second hour of Inside Locker Room. Phone lines are wide open, 205-342-9904. I don't really sense a lot of enthusiasm for this game, Chase. We'll see as we get to it. Maybe the stadium will be electric, but the 11 o'clock kick, going to be a hot one, 95 degrees in the stadium. We want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. I'm looking at that Toyota Tundra right now, 1.99 APR for the first 72 months. You're looking for a vehicle? How about the Camry, the Toyota Camry, one of the hottest cars. Been going on forever, that beautiful Camry. Great for your wife or you got a high school kid getting a car. The Camry is a great car. 3.75 APR for the first 36 months. But if you go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com, you look at all the new inventory, pre-owned, schedule of service, rent a Toyota, order a part, just go to TuscaloosaToyota.com or swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard East in Tuscaloosa and find Justin and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. Who's been the most impressive to you in the SEC so far, Dad? And which one of these teams do you think will be standing at the end? A lot of teams play good the first couple of weeks and then the cream kind of rises to the top. You're looking at Oklahoma. It's been pretty successful. I think Vanderbilt's looked good. Mississippi State's looked good. Auburn. I think a lot of people thought they probably would lose that Baylor game. Vandy. So maybe there's some teams that were picked towards the bottom, have played well the first 2 weeks. Now, whether they can sustain that, which couple teams do you think will still be standing there in the end with maybe a chance to get to Atlanta?
You know, after two games, that's really hard to hard for me to be very accurate. Texas is a little bit disgusted with the loss and the way that they played there. I think they're going to end at the end because of their schedule and because they can. I think he coaches them well and gets them to play when they're not where they need to be. I think they stand a chance of doing about what people thought being in the top of the league, which was 1-2-3. That 1-2-3 were Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. I think the answer to that question probably lies also in this game Saturday when Georgia plays Tennessee. I might jump up there and tell you Tennessee, if they were to win this game, because the guy does a good job of coaching. I listened to what Russell Bivens said yesterday, and I think Tennessee be ready to play. I'd say I don't know about Georgia. I think Georgia does lay in the woods and hide from you on teams that they can beat, and then all of a sudden whack you. So I don't know. You certainly got to give Vanderbilt a lot of credit for hanging in there. His ego gets out of the way. The head coach's ego gets out of the way. He brings an offensive coordinator, the head coach, and a quarterback, three of them. And they do darn well. So it's hard to tell. The win Mississippi State had over Arizona State will help them some. That doesn't mean they're going to start off with a big winning streak in the SEC. So I think it helped the league some for them to win that day. But I'd say I would still look at Texas as being close to the top because of their schedule.
Where does Oklahoma factor in? It looks like they're improved. That quarterback gives them a chance. Now, whether he can stay healthy playing his style, we'll have to see. But they had a great crowd for that Michigan game, great environment. They seem to be heading in a positive direction there in Oklahoma.
Well, if he can keep the quarterback, I thought I heard, read for the quarterback got hurt. Maybe I'm wrong.
No.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
They do a good job, but they're pretty down to earth kind of team because he's a defensive head coach, and that keeps you from getting beat as much as being good offensively. And he keeps them in the game because he does a good job defensively with his team. The reason that the quarterback at Auburn is at Auburn is because the injury factor at Oklahoma was unbelievable when he tried to play and didn't play very well. Wasn't enough people surrounding him, as Coach Saban would say. But I think Oklahoma is a little bit of a surprise there, but there was some talk that maybe they naturally they're going to get better than they were last year because they didn't have a very good year. Oklahoma and Texas, I guess play. Is it Oklahoma and Texas or Texas A&M and Texas that play at Dallas? I'm not. I can't remember.
It's the Red River rivalry. That's Oklahoma.
I think it'll be. I think Oklahoma is somewhat improved. Just hard. It's a little bit difficult to tell if the lower teams who have won are going to be good enough to beat the top teams who have not played enough scheduled for to really judge them. And I don't know that if Alabama wins this game Saturday, if we still have great judgment on Alabama. Of course, the judgment comes, you have a 2-week period before you play Georgia. And if you win, how do you spend 2 weeks getting ready for Georgia?
I think Alabama now, after watching these teams play, I think you got a tough schedule. They got Wisconsin. I think they'll handle them. Then they go to Georgia. You got Vanderbilt at home. Vanderbilt's good. You got to go out to Missouri. This Tennessee, they thought maybe when they lost that quarterback, they'd be in. They got Tennessee at home. Then you got to go to South Carolina. Then LSU at home. Oklahoma at home. I don't see any easy games on there until they get back down to Eastern Illinois. And then to finish up at Auburn, that's now, as you look at it, I didn't think it was that tough a schedule to begin the season, but now with Oklahoma playing the way they play, Vanderbilt looking like they look, we thought South Carolina would be pretty good, and Tennessee is better probably than we thought. This looks like a pretty tough schedule for Coach DeBoer and his staff.
Yeah, I think Missouri is hard. I think Missouri is very hard. Don't they play Matt Missouri? I hadn't looked.
Yeah, it's on the road. Yeah, October the 11th.
I think they're Kansas is better than all of our people think. But when they say Kansas, they think of basketball. This Kansas guy coaches at Kansas, coaches the crap out of a boy, and he gets them to play their potential. And so I would say I would agree. I think Missouri is a very hard game. Of course, I don't know. I don't know what the future of the quarterback situation is to Alabama. I think it is smart that they played some other quarterbacks. I guess it can be helpful to them. I think it's helpful to them before I shut up mentally as much as physically.
Yep. All right, we'll go ahead and take this break. We'll get back. We'll get Tom Hart, and we'll talk a little SEC football with Tom. You're listening to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Looking at this accident on 5th Street at Rice Mine Road, it continues to slow you down on both 5th and Rice Mine. And moving about 43, that's a lot thicker now on the southbound lanes to McFarland with your rush to work. Definitely inside prime time now. And so traffic is slow.
Cancer research saves lives.
So please help us fight in this battle against cancer.
Be a part of the team that ends cancer at standuptocancer.org.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Streaming live each Tuesday and Thursday on all social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we'll be joined by Crimson Tide defensive lineman LT Overton.
I've seen a lot of growth in our D-line this year, especially our young guys like Jordan Renaud and Ed. New guys coming in like London. He's going to be great. Steve, all just really all around. Like, we've got depth beyond.
Is it good to have that healthy rotation?
Yeah, of course. You never know. I'm not trying to put any guy down on my team, on the D-line especially, but guys are going to go down. It's a long season. And just having that depth, knowing that you have this guy beside you that's going to, you know, play his butt off for you, like, that's a sign of relief for me. It was a beautiful moment. Just being able, like, I always grew up around it, even if I wasn't a fan. Like, mom, dad, brother, everybody was always repping Crimsons.
I'll have more in a moment.
Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR.
If you missed last night's episode of Hey Coach and the Kalen DeBoer Show, catch it on demand on the Alabama Insider Podcast, as well as a video replay on all Alabama Athletics social media platforms. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We get right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He does all the SEC football, basketball, baseball, obviously currently doing football. Does an absolutely outstanding job. We love having him on. Tom Hart. Good morning, Tom. How are you, sir?
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm fantastic. Thank you. It was great, by the way, speaking of baseball, to run into Rob Bond on the sideline before the game the other night. I know he had some big-time recruits in town, and Nate Oates was down there on the sideline before the game. It was cool to run into Coach Oates. It's always fun to run into guys like that when it's not quite their season, although recruiting season never ends.
Yeah. Tom, talk about and what you can't share, I understand. I know you guys go, y'all get in, and you have meetings with the coaches or Coach DeBoer or and I think maybe he told you guys that he was going to play Austin Mack in the second quarter, and maybe they share some things you can share on air when you're doing the broadcast. Some things probably are just for your knowledge. How do you kind of weed through that? What's okay to say and what's not? What's off the record when you meet with these guys?
I got to be honest, Barry. Like, one of the hardest things for me, because we – cover one league and we see staffs repetitively, we don't get caught in the minutiae of, hey, who's your left tackle, who's your best receiver. My analyst Cole and Jordan, we they already know all that information.
Yeah.
So we have some really candid conversations, and I walk out of those meetings sometime or go to dinner and go, wait a second, what should and shouldn't I share? You know, because, and Wimp, you know this, sometimes a coach, and Saban was a master at this with his press conferences, sometimes they use the media to get the message to those players or to the players' parents or to the players' agent, whatever that might be in this day and age. But with Kalen DeBoer, he is he plays it pretty close to the vest, and he's so highly intelligent. Sometimes you have to read between the lines, and in those situations, I tend to talk about the feeling in the building, right? The feeling inside the facility. And I'll talk a little about the quarterback situation in a second, but my feeling after hearing that he stepped into a players-only meeting and he let his emotions out, my feeling was, even if they didn't say this directly, hey, it's us against the world.
Yeah,
I believe in everybody in this building. We believe in each other. There may be people who are wearing our colors who don't believe in us. So forget about them. It's about us. And by the way, that applies to the players we talked to. That applies to some of the former players and what they've been saying publicly and what they said about the Florida State game. So I found all that very interesting in the nuance of what's happening inside that building versus what's being talked about outside of it. I'll answer your quarterback question. They were very direct about that, and there was nothing left to the imagination. And they had the key here, and Cole talked about this on the broadcast. I think maybe there's some people outside, some former players who've been critical of the program and this coaching staff who failed to understand this. They were very clear that this was something that they talked to both quarterbacks about and the team. And they told Ty, listen, you won the job. You're our quarterback, but we're going to give Austin a look, and we're going to be very deliberate and intentional about when we do it. And Cole pointed this out during broadcast. They've done this before. It's a motivational tactic. They did it at Fresno State. Whether Ty needed to be fired up or more focused, only the people in that building know. But when you go 17-for-17, you did something right. I don't care if you're playing against air.
Yeah.
And so that was – it wasn't, in my opinion, in the way they approached it. Now, this may change, right? But – as of Saturday night, it wasn't, we're not certain of Ty. Let's let Austin have a chance to win this job. It was, let's let light a fire under everybody, even our quarterbacks, and let them know unabashedly that what happened in Tallahassee is not acceptable. And everybody's job is on the line. And you go out and prove that you deserve to be number one. And I think Ty did that.
How does that happen, though? I'm not talking about losing to Florida State. Maybe Florida State's going to end up being a lot better than we think. But, Tom, like, when it's game one, normally you don't matter who you're playing. You're so sick of practicing. It's been so long since you've played. You're going to get great effort. And Alabama didn't. How does that happen, Tom?
I don't know. I think it's in an individual basis, and there are reasons behind that per individual. Like, for example, Deontay Lawson talked to us about his coming back from the torn ACL, and he said, I wasn't certain how it was going to react. We've been through practices, been through scrimmages. Those are all controlled to a certain extent, right?
Sure.
I mean, even if they're full contact, your teammate knows that you're coming off of a torn ACL. The guy wearing garnet and gold on Saturday does not give a rip. He was so great when we met with him, and he was so effervescent and outgoing, and he said, I was hesitant. It was because of the knee. But now I know, not only do I know that it can take a hit and I can go full speed, but now I know I have to go full speed and let it go full throttle every time. I thought Bray Hubbard was very honest about his assessment once he saw that on film. And he knows that his effort or lack thereof wasn't, wasn't acceptable. So I don't know how that happens, but I think it's all. I don't think it was. Although it looked like a unit issue, I thought it was an individual issue. And when you get two or three of the guy, those guys doing it on the same unit, it looks horrendous. There's no doubt about it, and it's not winning football. But when you break it down, it's, you know, it's an individual effort scenario.
Yeah, good stuff. Depp.
I just think that it's a us against the world, and what you said is really good.
Yeah, that is good.
Us against the world is a time for to say that before Florida State. I think when you go into the players' meeting and say that, that's good. Some way or another, along the line, I would have, and I'm not saying I'd, you know, whatever, I did it my own way. I would let them know it's us against the world before we play Florida State. I think it's good stuff myself. I took a job for somebody that when I took my job, I took one where everybody loved the coach and they hired me. So that was, you know, whatever. But, I think I wanted to ask you about, you felt how the culture was down the line. Barry's kind of asked that question. Let's forget the individuals and talk about the team, that what you think down the line they are as a team. I thought they played with more enthusiasm, more enthusiasm. Yeah, I know the team wasn't any good they played. I got all that. But I thought they came ready to play. Comment on that. Down the line.
Yeah, I think that you could you're talking about the team and being ready to play. I think you could summarize that by looking at a couple of units and how they played or didn't play, you know, week one versus week two. I thought the offensive line was generally poor week one. I thought Caden Proctor, especially given his feeling and his talent level, his LinkedIn page, if you will, didn't perform up to that. Obviously, it's much easier when they're going against an overmanned squad for an offensive line to look better, but I thought they looked more fun. They're not as bad as they showed against Florida State on the offensive line. Parker Brailsford, by the way, the center, had a great game against Florida State. It was kind of lost in all the mess. This is a wildly talented team up against the best in the country when it comes to 4 and 5 stars. And playing without Ryan Williams, I think gave other guys a chance to shine. And so I look at where they are from a playmaking standpoint on the offensive side of the ball. Can Kevin Riley replicate that performance against a higher quality opponent? Can the offensive line replicate that performance against a better, bigger, more physical opponent? That will remain to be seen. Obviously, Ty Simpson's not going to be perfect every time out. That just doesn't happen. But I was really impressed with the talent. I thought Lazier Brooks took advantage of the opportunity to get on the field and show what he can do and what he can be. Isaiah Horton was banged up against Florida State. I think he's a guy that they can rely on. I think Jeremy Bernard, calling somebody a dog used to be an insult, right? Because they were dogging it. Now a dog means you get after it. I think Jeremy Bernard is an absolute dog with that wide receiver core. And he may not be the most talented, but he is certainly the leader on that side in terms of his effort and his production. And if Ryan Williams follows in his footsteps, because Ryan Williams, the second half of last season, was nowhere close to the Ryan Williams we saw in the first half of the season. The Georgia game, you know, you hope wasn't an outlier from last year, but it's what he's capable of repeating week in and week out. So I think there is talent all across the board. And I think this coaching staff, if you look to a positive from the Florida State debacle, they now know, you know, how not to motivate their team and how to deliver messages to this team. It was funny talking about us against the world, and I don't remember if I shared this on the broadcast, but I was at practice Thursday morning, and at the end of practice, Kalen had the team together on the first practice field, and everybody was on a knee, and he was giving them your typical post-practice message. And this one focused on, playing hard, playing the right way, playing for your teammates, the kind of coaching platitudes you expect to hear. But a big part of the message was being intentional with your actions. And that could mean, getting enough sleep Thursday night to make sure you're well-rested come Saturday, thinking ahead, being hydrated, all of this kind of stuff. And then being focused on what your task is. And at that moment when he was talking about focus, the folks in the choppers who were practicing the flyover for Saturday night came right above the practice field. And five choppers just following each other, very low-lying, very loud, very distracting. And I was joking after practice, and I said, the message to the team could have been, hey, boys, they're coming at us from all angles. And Kalen laughed, and he said, well, that would have been pretty good. And he plays his cards close to the vest. He wasn't going to add on to that. But I think overall, kind of what I keep coming back to is after Florida State, you learn, because people were very public about it, who is on our side and who isn't. And that's why I was talking about circling the wagons and us against the world. Hey, we've got to lean on each other, not because of the opponent that we know, but maybe the opponent we don't know. Maybe that former quarterback who wears our colors, who's out talking trash about us, maybe he's not on our side, right? But we know we can rely on the people in this building. And we know we can rely on that guy next to us on the offensive line and that guy in the trenches with us, because that's all we know. And that was the message I took from talking with the staff and from being at practice for 2 days, even if it wasn't explicitly said in front of me like that. And so I think that's a lesson that they took to heart. Is it a more talented team than Georgia? I mean, arguably, based on the recruiting rankings, are they as proven as Georgia? No. Are they as proven as even Texas based on last year? No, but they've got advantages at some positions that Texas doesn't have. So when you start comparing them to the best in the league, you're comparing them to the best in the country. And I think it could still be a very, very, very promising season for the squad.
Tom, when I look at these three quarterbacks, I can't imagine a team in the country has three this good. And I don't know if there's any separation between the three. I know each one has their own strengths and weaknesses, but the way the portal sits, and you got to kind of think about the future, would you not almost do every game where you told Austin Mack, hey, you're going to go in here? And I think you got to play this other kid as well. So maybe, hey, the second half, we're going to play you in the third quarter or whatever, the first possession of the fourth quarter or whatever. I think you got to keep all three of these guys kind of interested and happy, because you don't want to lose any of them. Or is that just too much coming in and out for Ty Simpson there?
I think that's too much turnover. Remember, Ty is a first-year starter.
Yeah.
He still needs reps. He needs reps with his wide receivers. He needs reps with his offensive line. But what it allows you to do, and what we saw, is it gives you confidence. By the way, I don't know, Barry, that I don't know what the line is against Wisconsin, but looking at the schedule, I don't see a game until November 22nd where you can really plan on, hey, we're going to have an opportunity where somebody can play the fourth quarter.
I agree.
The schedule just does not line up like that. Now, maybe if you do to Missouri what you did to them last year, pitching a shutout, you got that chance. But I digress. I think what it allows you to do, number one, is it allows you to put some confidence in Austin Mack, the way he operated the offense. I think there's a lot of really good stuff. Keelan Russell gets a taste. I don't think you have to keep a guy like in years past, and I'm just stereotyping here and generalizing, but like in years past, the freshman quarterback within the portal era needed to get a taste so you could keep him around, right? Well, now you keep them around with money, with cash, right? Like, we're showing we believe in you by how much we're investing in you. It's straight, as Randy Moss would say, straight cash, homie. Like, we're paying you. That should be proof. But you're a freshman. You're not ready to go. And so we're going to bring you along. All that to say that both of those guys, both Mac and Russell, showed enough to me that they could be, they may not be perfect, but they can be relied on in big situations and in big games. And so therefore, you know what? Ty Simpson's a pretty good runner. And he avoided some hits against Florida State when he could have either run for a first down or put a shoulder down and earned a first down. I say to him, if I'm Ryan Grubb, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Go, be a ball player. Go get that first down. And you never want to assume an injury, and you don't want to put anybody in harm's way, but you don't have to put bubble wrap around him. Yeah. You could use him in the run game in that scenario because of what you're talking about, because of the ability and potential of those two guys behind them.
Good. Depp?
I guess we've got some Auburn listeners on to our show. I don't particularly care for playing an in-state team in football. Coach Bryant didn't, because he felt like the recruiting might take an effect, and probably doesn't. But I think if you're a great program and you're just going to kill somebody, maybe so, just to have another game. I think if you're a team that maybe is not questionable but concerned, that you better be darn ready to play in South Alabama, because it hurts you a great deal if you lose. You don't get much credit if you win. You're supposed to. Any thoughts on Auburn?
Well, first of all, respectfully to the folks down in Mobile, I don't know.
Yeah.
Let me just phrase it this way. I'm so ready for that ninth conference game. I am done with the blowouts. I'm done with 73-0. I'm done with Ohio State grambling. We had Tennessee, Kent State last year that I think was 70-3 or so. I don't know what you get out of it, and I'm ready for my buddy Andre Ware, who won a Heisman Trophy with Houston, brought this up a million years ago. If we need to share the wealth and help fund other programs, and I know South Al is in the same as Monroe. By the way, Monroe, the lowest budget and lowest revenue in all of FBS versus Alabama, number six in revenue, number one in expenses in college football. What are we doing? Why are we playing these games? If you need to fund their athletic department, have them bust over in the spring. You know, let's play a game in the spring. Let's see how many tickets we can sell. Let's get some reps for our guys. But this is ridiculous. I thought quarterback play has been sensational for Auburn the first 2 weeks. I'm really impressed, because I've seen Jackson Arnold in person many times. And to me, the hype didn't live up to the expectation, whether that was in his first bowl game a couple of years ago when he threw three picks, or, you know, in South Carolina when he turned it over on consecutive possessions. And once again, it's that, can we take the bubble wrap off of this guy? If he's a true dual threat quarterback, then let's get the most out of him. You know, a lot of people out there with four-wheel drives who never leave the pavement. You getting the most out of your SUV? Probably not. All right, so run the quarterback. And I think they're finding the opportunities to do that, to take full advantage of his skill set. And that's what, you know, I don't think motivation is going to be an issue for an early start against South Alabama. What you want to do, though, now you're finally back in the top 25, you want to come out and do what Bama did in the first quarter Saturday night. Just have a first quarter to step on their neck and come out with the best plays that you have, execute them, get on the scoreboard, establish your dominance, and then move on from there. And then you have opportunities for others. But I don't know, respectfully, I don't know enough about the South Alabama program to say whether or not they can hang around for a half. I just think if you're Auburn, it's got to be, as Coach Saban would say, a nameless, faceless opponent, and just go out there and play joyless murder ball and put them to sleep early.
Real fast, your thoughts on Georgia, Tennessee. Georgia's dominated the series here lately, 8 in a row, and the games hadn't really been close. And head-to-head, you get that's the first tiebreakers. That's a big deal there. How do you see this Georgia-Tennessee game going, Tom?
I think the line, last I looked, was 3.5, is tilted in Tennessee's favor primarily because of the home field environment. I mean, it is going to be a lion's den for them to watch. And listen, they're used to it. SEC teams are used to it. But it's going to be absolutely raucous. Game day is going to be there. That fan base is going to be fired up. That being said, Joey Aguilar had real turnover issues before he got to Tennessee in his previous stop. And if Kirby Smart smells blood in the water, he's going to get after that dude.
Yes.
And so to me, if you're looking at it's an important element no matter what the matchup is. But if Tennessee can take care of the football, then they got a chance in this game. I just don't have confidence that he's not going to turn the ball over. He's got to show me in a big game that he can make plays and protect the ball at the same time. And he's got that kind of gunslinger personality where, you know, you get the good with the bad. And you just can't afford to do that against Georgia. And now, can they turn Georgia over? Can they find a break in the kicking game? Can they, you know, do something else? All of that will determine whether or not Tennessee wins the game. But if they turn it over, and if Joey Aguilar specifically turns it over, then they got no chance.
Where are you going to be this weekend, Tom?
We've got Vanderbilt at South Carolina.
Ooh.
This is a really interesting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a
2-0
good one.
Matchup.
That's going to be a good one. That place will be in a frenzy on Saturday night. So go to Hall's Chop House while you're up there. Are you over there, Tom? So
I might go see Tommy over there. Yeah. That's a good spot.
There you go.
Very formal. A little formal for my taste, you know, when they wait and all the waiters.
Yeah, they'll give you a back room.
All the
waiters important.
Bring it out at the same time.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, enjoy it, Tom. That's a great game. Enjoy it. You do a great job. We appreciate you being on with us.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right,
really good stuff there. All right, just talking about Bryant Bank, and then we get back. Chase, it's time for another vinegar tip for this Thursday.
Bryant Bank, outstanding bank, and one that you can go in and handle your personal business account, either one, both, and they'll do everything they can to make you happy as their client. They will do everything they possibly can to be sure your money is safe. And they will do everything that they possibly can to please you. Get bank online around the clock, which is good. They're a homegrown bank. They're interested in the people. If you have kids and if they're involved in high school and junior high school, they are interested in kids coming in and opening up the account as well. Go by Bryant Bank and tell me here to inside the locker room.
All right, take the break here. Get back. This vinegar tip be brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. This is the Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sport.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, cranking up the volume on 2059 in Foster's as we're dealing with the road construction at Holly Springs Lane. And otherwise, on the other, well, it's closer to the area here, we've got 43, and that's on the southbound lanes to McFarland, moving along.
Adults and a 1K race for the kids. VIP tickets are $75. Beer steins available on site for $10. To learn more, just go to TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assist.
Free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide?
download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Inside the locker room. You know what that song means? Brought to you by the Vigor Tip, brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Michael and his staff do an outstanding job since we started this Vinegar Tip. Not only has the vinegar been curing people, he's found somebody still living at 103 takes vinegar every day. So we get more tips for vinegar since Michael has sponsored us. 205-752-8500. I'm going to talk to him about if you switch your insurance over there, maybe he'll give you a bottle of vinegar there to kind of help you out. All right, what do we got for this Thursday?
Well, this is a very timely subject, a little bit different subject. And as I give the headlines, the people that will be cooking at home, people that will be getting to the games early in their SUVs and going out and cooking and having a good meal. It's meal time prior to the Wisconsin game. Maybe starts on Friday, maybe it's on Saturday. But I want you to know that apple cider vinegar will really do something to your meat. The ruling is that some cuts of meat tend to be a little bit tough. But with a little help, they are saying, from apple cider vinegar, they can practically melt through, melt through your mouth. The apple cider vinegar allows the acid from the vinegar to break down the muscle fibers in the meat. And it will absolutely make your meat easier to eat, more enjoyable. So what you need to do is just sprinkle some apple cider vinegar, work a little apple cider vinegar in it as you cook it. And when you will get the, it will change the taste at all. And when you get through cooking, whether you're cooking at Denny Stadium or your house, apple cider vinegar is going to play a part in your meat selection, especially if it's barbecue or a heavy meat, I think you'll enjoy it.
What does it put? Do what to the meat?
Well, you have to sprinkle. You've got to sprinkle some apple cider vinegar on there, and you've got to turn it over and sprinkle some on the other side.
Oof.
And you've just
got on a real nice steak. You gonna put on a nice steak?
Oh, sure, you can put the steak. You can put it on a steak and say, hey, I don't know. You can do it also if you will probably won't do it while you're cooking it. You'll probably have it put on there prior to. And let as the fire burns it and all that stuff will go off of it, you'll probably put it on there, I think, just prior to getting ready to cook. So they tell me and they say, from what I can gather, that it just does the trick for making your meat softer and better tasting if you put it on there prior to putting it on the grill.
All right, you hear that, Michael. So when you're cooking those steaks out, watching those Mississippi State Bulldogs, you got to get your little vinegar, put it on your meat. So if you want deal with Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, y'all talk a little vinegar there. He'll let you know if it works. 205-752-8500. All right, we take this last break and wrap up the show. There you go. There's the vinegar tip. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
one day closer to Alabama, Wisconsin. We'll break it all down with Aaron Torres from Fox Sports. We'll also talk with Rodney Orr, TiterInsider.com, and we'll get a professional handicapper, Bruce Marshall, visit with us on the Thursday edition of The Game starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center, cranking up the volume on 2059 in Foster's as we're dealing with the road construction at Holly Springs Lane. And otherwise, on the other, well, it's closer to the area here, we've got 43, and that's on the southbound lanes to McFarland.
She's looking at the cigarettes, but she just grabs the gum off the counter. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer. Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Mr. SEC Tournament Wimp Sanderson gives you his excellent analysis every weekday on Inside the Locker Room right here on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. I'm starting a new little deal here with our man Jason Barksdale. Jason and his group, North River Lawn Service, they take care of Dad and I's lawn, and they do a great job. And so if you're looking for somebody, you say, hey, you know what, I've got a guy, but he hadn't been doing great. You need somebody to come in there and take some pride with your lawn, then Jason Barksdale and his group at North River Lawn Service is your guy. 205-535-5290. Every Thursday, we're going to do the North River Weed Eating Wager of the Week. And Jason, Dad, because of new quarterbacks, first SEC game, meaning Tennessee has a new quarterback. The over-under in the Georgia-Tennessee game is 50. The Weed Eater Wager of the Week is saying go under. Take under on the 50, and you will be able to buy you a new Weed Eater. So that will be the North River Lawn Care Wager of the Week. Dad, you like that pick? Under?
I do like under.
Under. Yeah. Under. So we're going to – now, you don't – if you're going to pick on this show – we keep your record, though. So Jason, we're going to keep your record for the North River Weed Eating Wager of the Week. All right, real fast. We got about 1 minute. Gary's going to be screaming at me. What's up, Tom?
Hey, there, hey, John. Coach. How y'all doing? You know, y'all okay. Pulled up early this morning about there's a gun problem in America, but I'm going to quote Charles Barkley. He said, there ain't a gun problem in America. There's a heart problem in America, meaning those people with the finger on the trigger, they're the problem in America right there.
That's correct.
It won't do a thing to somebody puts it in the hand and cocks it and pulls the trigger.
Yeah. True. Sad day. I tell you, my wife didn't really even know who Charlie Kirk was, and her boys were absolutely devastated. I said, Jenny, like their generation, he had a humongous impact on those kids.
Yeah, I didn't really agree with a lot of things that Charlie stood for. I like Charlie, don't get me wrong. I see things different than he does, but it's a sign of the times of the younger generation that oppose. They'll see it my way eventually, but
maybe.
The thing about it is, I wanted to say this. Coach, I read a really good article by a retired FBI agent this morning. He said that was a hired hit that killed Charlie.
Yeah.
He said somebody hired somebody to kill him because they want to shut him up.
Yeah, that's awful. All right, thank you, Tom. All right, that's it for today's show. We'll make way for the Gary Harris, the Blue Plate Special, brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. It'll be tomorrow, so be ready. We got the Weed Eater Wager of the Week. Under 50 North River Lawn Care, under 50 Georgia, Tennessee. Dad likes it. I don't know what that means, Chase. Do you? You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.